Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. And I'll quote one other that you're very familiar with, I'm sure. I'd like to say happy birthday, Miss June Flickinger. Yeah. And I'm not going to say how many, but many more. Let's do that. All right. Happy birthday, Miss June Flickinger. Amen. Amen. Appreciate that. All right. Isaiah 53. Appreciate everyone here this morning. And appreciate you coming. And you know, some folks came especially to honor our veterans, and I appreciate that very, very much. It's so good to have each one here. Isaiah 53, also a very familiar passage. We'll walk through this in a moment, but let me just kind of put our mind in the right direction. Almost in the middle of the Bible there, Isaiah, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, chapter 53, verse number 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare this his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many? For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Let's have a word of prayer, and this morning I just want to spend just a few moments. I know we're already late getting started here, but just a few moments on this thought. As I just sang, his life for mine. His life for mine. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for this day, for your blessings. The fact is that many saw daylight today, but it was because men were willing to go into the vastness of the darkness of hell, so to speak, to fight for our freedom. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we have in this country to stand and proclaim your word. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless our time here this morning. Bless the lessons that the children are getting here in just a few moments as well. But Lord, as we open your word, may you speak to our hearts. May we truly see the sacrifice made. May we understand maybe just a little better of what you did when you gave your life for ours. Lord, if be one doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray that today be the day of their salvation. May you speak to our hearts, and we will give you the praise for all that you do. Asking for your Holy Spirit to move. And we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Tomorrow is officially the day that the United States of America sets aside each year to remember those who have gone before us to procure our liberty. And I'm glad that our nation has the sense and the forethought to establish a time that we set aside for such a task. It also saddens me that our nation felt the need to do such a thing, because such a gratitude toward our fallen soldiers should be as natural as waking up in the morning and remembering we still live in a land of freedom because of those who have been willing to pay the price for that freedom. Those of us who reap the benefit of the sacrifices of others often do not understand and appreciate the act of love that has been bestowed upon us. Many were not participants in the sacrifice that brought the victory, but we are heirs of the spoils of the war. We live only because someone else was willing to die. Our children enjoy life, and we enjoy our children because many other parents were willing to allow their children to put their lives on the line. Our gain was their loss. Our blessing was their sacrifice. Their lives were given for ours. Let me just spend just a couple minutes dwelling on that. Our veterans, and the ones who are in the military right now as well, but our veterans, the ones who gave their lives, gave the most and got the least. Yet often our veterans are the most patriotic. The ones who went out on the field, the ones who can remember what it was like in the foxhole. The one who saw the legs blown out from underneath the friend of his buddy right next to him. They so loved their country, and that while many of our country would never appreciate their sacrifice that they gave, they still gave their life for ours. Let me give you another thought. Men and women went to war, and many of them did so because the fatherland told them to go. They went. They were called. They answered the call. But many, especially during that time, the Vietnam, when these soldiers returned to their homeland, they were despised and rejected by the very ones that they were offering their lives for. They were not honored and lauded for their sacrifice, but stripped of what dignity they had left. Your third point. Many soldiers returned from war bearing the marks of the battle, both physically, mentally, and emotionally. Their bodies were broken, and many are still broken. Bullet wounds and shrapnel. Some lost legs and arms and head wounds that will forever change who they are. Yet there are other scars from the horrific scenes of war and the acts that are required for the victory. After years being home, many jump at any sharp sound. They live constantly watching for the invisible enemy behind them. Some try to sleep at night just to end up reliving the horrors of war over and over, both what they saw and what was done to them, and what they had to do in the call of duty. Some sleep in an unnecessarily overwhelming sea of guilt for what they were called to do in the line of duty, even though God ordains nations to protect their own. Remember that. They say war is hell. I have no right to argue with that description, because I have not experienced the ravages of war. And it's death, devastation, and destruction. I do know that the reason they use hell to describe war is because it's the worst thing that they can think of. Often there was a hill where soldiers would give their lives to take into combat. The sacrifice was great, but they had to give it so that to bring the victory to the war. They did so because they loved their country. There was another hill in history where a man experienced hell for the ones he loved. A battle was fought, and the hill was called Calvary. The Romans called it Golgotha, or some people pronounce it Golgotha, the place of the skull, the place of death. Many a man died on that hill for the crimes that he had committed. It was on that hill called Calvary where a man died as he was mocked and criticized. He had come unto his own, but his own had received him not. It would be on that hill he would bear about the scars of the battle. He had been beaten with a cat of nine tails, tortured to the point that he barely looked human. It was just a heap of bloody human flesh. This man did not die for crimes he had committed, but for the crimes that his people had committed and would commit. You see, God so loved the world. And as the Father, he gave his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just as the soldiers, when they die on that hill, they're not dying for a perfect nation or for perfect people. But they're dying for the souls, to give them another day to live. When Jesus died, he didn't die for perfect people, didn't die for a perfect nation, he died for sinners. He commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us for one reason. He loved you. And not just to give you one more day to live, but to give you eternity. The death of that one man on that hill that day was the difference between life and death for billions of people. This brave soldier of the heavenly kingdom gave all to his people. And even then, yet when he came unto his own received him not. How could we have treated our soldiers this way, we ask? They came home from the battle and with all the disease and the ancient orange and all the mess laid out in the swamps of Asia, months, some years. But how can we treat a Savior so? Our passage in Isaiah, let me walk through real quick. Won't be real long. And I'm going to throw some things in here kind of from both sides of the issue, both are military and both our Savior. But let me show you some things. Verse 1, it says, who hath believed our report? Who could believe that God would do what he said he's going to do here? Who could believe that people would treat a Savior like this? Who would believe that we would treat him this way? He says, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. He's talking about Christ. But just as a soldier, he was one of those cute little boys in our town. I remember years ago, North Carroll Middle School was the old high school there and down there in Hampstead. And when it was a high school, of course, there was war. Out in front of in the circle of the high school, there's a tombstone. And you know, many of us as kids, all the buses would come in at the end of the day and they would wrap around the circle there and we all get in the buses. And how kids are, and so we would run, and the tombstone wasn't huge, but for us, it was enough, and you hit that thing, granite tombstone, it would hurt, and we'd try to see if we could hurdle that thing, and we'd come out, and, you know, we'd do our thing, you know, and show off, and, you know, kind of like the dirt track bike riders do, you know, they do a little flip, and they do a little flare, and away we go, and we would go over this tombstone. Not realizing the significance. Because on that tombstone were the names of the young men that had graduated from that high school that went to war and never came back. He was just one of the boys in the town. Never harmed anybody. And as a root out of the dry ground, there was a lot of promise as we watched him grow up, this young man. And the same thing with the military. I mean, watch him grow up. A lot of promise. Wasn't anything particularly unusual. He had no form nor comeliness. And when we should see him, there's no beauty. We should desire him. But now, he's a broken and wounded, disfigured and helpless from the ravages of war. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Just as though men came back and we looked at him, many folks didn't even want to talk to him. They turned their back and walk away. But they had the integrity to go when their nation called. We had a Savior who knew what was going to happen when he came to this land. He knew he would be despised and rejected. This is the foretelling of it. No esteem. He gave all he had for us, and we cringe and turn our backs because he can hardly stand to look at him. Men come back with one leg, one arm, maybe neither. Wounded and scarred, disfigured, some with burns on them that they will never look the same. The scars that he bears are the badges of honor that show the man for what he is, a patriot. Jesus bore the scars. The open wounds of the lashing of the cat of nine tails. The crown of thorns that were on his head was beaten in with a rod. The nails that went right through his hands and his feet. And even when he was finally dead, they abused the corpse and pierced him through. Why? Well, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Well, this is what you get for doing something wrong, I'm sure the many cried out. God's getting you here. You shouldn't have been there. God's getting you. No. But he was wounded for our transgressions. They fought the battle for us. He was bruised or crushed for our iniquities. And as the soldiers were wounded and bruised for our freedom, Jesus was wounded and bruised to free us from the death of hell. The chastisement of our peace, what we needed to make amends with our Savior, was upon him. And with his stripes, his scars, his wounds that will forever be there, and I think we'll see him in heaven. He showed them to Thomas. With his scars and his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We're a mess. Sheep are dumb. And some of the dumb things that we do as people is amazing. We go off our own way. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, it's our fault, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He didn't argue. Can you imagine those men on those battlefields? They didn't argue when the commander gave the orders, but simply obeyed as he was charged. Do as he was called. He was taken from prison, from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He gave away heaven to get a big ball of dirt and have a lot of it cast on him. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in him, in his mouth. Many a soldier have died in a muddy mess. Their body lays there until the battle is finally done and it clears away, and hopefully they can get in and get the body. But they did as they were called. And rightfully, we bring them back. It doesn't bring back their life, but we bring that body back, we drape it in that flag, and we salute their dedication, and they salute their service. They had done the job they've been called. Jesus did the job he was called. And he will be highly exalted above all. He was obedient, even to death, even to the death of the cross. How can this be right? Verse 10 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. I'll tell you what that is saying. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, you were on his mind. He could see his seed. He could see what was coming down the road. He could see those who were going to give their lives later, maybe hundreds, maybe just a few years, hundreds, maybe a thousand years. Some today give their lives for the cause of Christ. But he sees all the ones that are living for him as well. He sees through his mind's eye the future, the ones who will live, the ones who will reap the benefit of this. That's what these men in the battlefield do. I hope they say, listen, you heard the songs. He's looking at a little photograph of his little girl, wishing he was home. If I don't get back, he's thinking, if I don't get back, I hope she can have the life I never had. I hope she gets married, has a bunch of kids, and she can live in freedom and have what I never had. The Lord shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, and he shall bear their iniquities. Victory. Victory is there. He gave his life. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. I can give him everything I have. Never pay the price, but give him all that I have. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. He's earned the right to be honored and respected. Jesus bore the scars of the torturous beating, the crown of thorns, the nails in his hands, and even the abuse of him as a corpse when they pierced his side. He deserves it. There are people who live in America but do not enjoy the freedoms we have because they think they know better. And they refuse to take the gift of freedom. There are those that refuse to take the gift of life provided by our Savior, Jesus Christ as well. On that hill, as the old song says, far away, stood an old rugged cross. During that battle, every time he had to take a breath, he had to push up on the nails in his feet and the nails in his hands to lift his lungs up out of the fluid that was gathering from the crucifixion. That's what it does. And his filleted back rubbed against that old rugged cross. And as the splinters slid in here and there, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God, the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all, the sin of us all right there. And all of a sudden, there he was fighting that battle alone for us. Sky got dark. The earth shook. There was a blackness you could almost feel. He cried out, it is finished. It's almost as if the smoke cleared. He had done what he had been called to do, to give his life a ransom for many. He gave it for all. But he says many because that's all that will take it. We should all take it. Father, my hand, I commit my spirit. And he died. The veil of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom. It divided the area where the people could be from the Holy of Holy where God is. And God says, we're free. It's open. Come to me. The battle is won. Victory is gone. Death, where is thy victory? Grave, where is thy sting? It's gone. But he says this. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, verse 10, and hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. Verse 12, so therefore I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. A dead man doesn't get to enjoy the spoils. But Jesus didn't stay dead. Because on that third day, there was a victory parade in Jerusalem. It wasn't very big. But it ran back and forth from the upper room to the open tomb. Because he had risen. He had risen. The victory had been paid. But listen, how do we know it's done? Death is over because he's alive. He's the victor. We know this story. I think sometimes we forget. Sometimes I think we're just jumping over the tombstone and forgetting his name is written on it. I remember, honest, I was probably a junior higher, maybe ninth. Well, I was there till we ninth. I was probably about around ninth grade when we were getting ready to move out of that building to the new high school. And I really had never thought about it. And I looked at that. I always went, why in the world is there a tombstone from a high school? That's kind of stupid. You know how kids are. And I saw the names. The ones who have given their lives for mine. Let me ask you this morning. Just as those soldiers gave their life for ours, Jesus Christ gave his life for ours. They may keep it free for another 100 years. Jesus Christ gives you a freedom that never ends. The gift of God is eternal life. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to strongly, strongly, strongly encourage you to take Him. It boggles my mind how people can burn a flag. It boggles my mind how people want us to become like all the other nations of the rest of the world. They'll become like the rest of the world. The only reason they can say what they say is because they have been given freedom and then turn their back on the nation that gave them the freedom. Jesus is offering Himself to give you everlasting freedom. Your soul will never have to see the inside of hell. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. He died and paid for the sins of the world, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He's the propitiation of the amends maker for our sins. And John says, not ours only, but for the sin of the whole world. And here's how we get it. You tell them you're a sinner. You know you need a Savior. We know He already gave us the victory. And you're willing to take it. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We believe in our heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. We got to believe that He died. That assumes that. But He paid it all. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not might. It's not maybe. If He gets around to it, it's already paid for. You shall be saved. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Let me ask you a question. Do you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? The victory's already been won, but have you claimed the victory? See, the men go to the battlefield. They win the victory. We enjoy the spoil. Well, that's what He says. Jesus has already paid the price. He's already fought the battle. And He says, you get to enjoy it if you'll take it. If you were outside the gates of heaven right now, and I know they don't do this, but outside the gates of heaven, you knocked on the door, and they asked you why they should let you in the door, what would you tell them? If it's anything other than the fact that Jesus already gave me my victory by shedding His blood for my sin, we have a problem. If you'd like to know for sure if you died to go to heaven, we can help you do that right now. Every eye is closed, every head is bowed. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and I can help you do that right now. Would you pray from your heart to God's heart? Mean it with all your heart. Say something like this, in your heart to God's heart. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that because of my sin, I deserve death and hell. But I believe that Jesus died and paid for all my sin and rose again the third day, proving all my sins were paid for. Right now, the best I know how, I accept the death of Jesus as full payment for my sin. I'm trusting Him alone for my salvation. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin and give me a home in heaven. Thank you for saving me. My heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, not embarrass anybody. But if you meant that with your heart, you prayed that and you meant that with your heart, no one's looking, would you just slip, well, just me and God, would you slip your hand up and say, I prayed that prayer and I meant it with all my heart. Just slip your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Are there others? So I prayed that. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Thank you, son. You can put your hands down. Anybody else? I prayed to receive Christ. And I meant with all my heart. I wanted to get that settled. Now, Father, I thank you for this day that you've given us. I thank you for the wonderful gift of salvation. I thank you for the men and women who have given their lives for us. Now, Lord, we thank you for these who have taken life that you so freely gave to us as well, eternal life. Bless these dear folks. Do a work in our hearts. And we give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen.